We come to God as one from whom no secrets are hidden.
To ask for his forgiveness and peace.
Forgive yourselves. And so we sing. Glory to God, glory to God, glory in the highest.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory in the highest.
To God be glory forever.
To God be glory forever.
Okay, so there's some singing from St Nicholas's Church in Dunnington, and welcome to the first ever radio podcast that Dunnington Church have done, the first that I know of anyway. This programme's really about telling stories. We had a weekend away at Wydale Hall, a gorgeous place out in the countryside, back in September. And we used the weekend to listen to our stories, the stories that people tell about their lives, about where they live, but also primarily about their faith. So we took the theme of story and we split into groups and we each told a different story, or our story, about those different things. First of all, let's start at the young end with the youth group, a lively bunch who enlivened the whole weekend by some frightening stunts that they did. But they decided to tell the story of how the youth group started. So they scripted this themselves, they performed it themselves, and I mean performed, and added in some sound effects and music to help them tell their story.
Colin.
What about a youth group?
Thanks for offering, Colin, but we need more help, and quite frankly, I can't be bothered.
Enter Andy and Helen.
What a lovely church!
The people are so welcoming.
But the kids look so bored.
What can we do?
Enter the Holy Reverend Rector Nicholas W. Bird and Colin.
Colin, those two look so young and full of youth.
Oh yes.
Andy, Helen, what do you think of St. Nick's?
It's a really nice church, but what's keeping the young people here?
Maybe 1.2 million jigsaw pieces, and three of them are my kids. But we are thinking of starting a youth group.
That's a great idea, but who's going to run it?
4 months later.
Look at all the things that we've done in the last few months.
What a nice day to be camping.
Oh look, there's an eagle.
George, that's a pigeon.
It It was a pigeon.
Right, let's play ball, folks. Ow, my leg!
It's okay, just put some ice on it.
I think it's broken.
Tom did it.
8:35 a.m. Helen is preparing a meal of porridge. Meanwhile, in the boys' tent.
Right, come on guys, it's time to get up.
Don't worry, Andy, we're all scouts here.
There's crisps in my ukulele.
A few months later, Ignite raised over £100 for charity, cooking a meal for the congregation.
I love spaghetti.
It's okay. We have a 5-star hygiene rating, as said by the company what does it.
Zach, be careful with that spaghetti.
Don't worry, Sebby. I know what I'm doing.
Oh, Zach, what have you done?
Somebody get a mop.
Some muppet just dropped a lot of spaghetti on the floor.
Yeah, you did.
Then, at the Emmaus Centre...
And the winner of the best flag goes to... Josh!
Let's use them to play capture the flag.
It was Christmas, and Ignite did a special nativity play.
I was Mary. And Joseph.
I was the Blues Angel of the Lord.
I was a sheep.
I was the donkey, a shepherd, and all three wise men.
Okay, so there we have the youth group. That's their story of how things got started. The leaders might disagree, but let's just have a listen. The next piece features a group of people who wanted to look at the question of where they found God. And one of the interesting things about a church is that people find God in different places, in different ways, at different times. So they got together to ask that question, where did I find God? Where do we find God? And therefore, where do you find God?
Where do you meet God?
I meet God often in silence and contemplation.
I meet God through conversations, relationships and friendships with other people.
I meet God in the quiet and calm of the countryside, watching the farmers working.
Where do I meet God? I meet God in other people, especially my children. Not that they're like God in any way, but in the way I love them.
I meet God when I'm standing in the ocean with the surge and swell of the water and the waves crashing against me. That power.
What should church be?
I think church should be a people on the journey into God, open to the love revealed in Jesus Christ.
To me, church should be a place of warmth and welcome, providing space to discover something of God.
Church should be something for everyone, somewhere they can feel at home and not isolated in faith.
I think church should be a place where everyone is welcome and everyone feels welcome. The second one is harder.
What should church be? Family. Sharing in each other's lives.
Where do you meet God?
I often meet God in the people that I meet.
I meet God in the silence at the communion rail, which for me provides a moment of focus and the opportunity to reconnect with God.
I meet God when I'm cutting the grass, when I get time to be alone and think.
I meet God in music, a and especially in playing music with other people.
I meet God at the communion rail too, particularly the communion rail at St Nick's, when I'm receiving from God alongside those I love, served by those I love.
What do you like about St Nick's?
I rather like the people. They're varied, loving, sometimes eccentric, but searching.
What I like about St Nick's is that it's part of the community, offers a range of services, different activities, and provides opportunities for people to come together across the week.
It's the people for me too. The mix of people. People of different styles of faith worshipping together.
What do I like about St Nick's? I like that I don't have to put on an act. If I'm not feeling cheerful and like everything's fine, then it's okay to say that or just to be quiet. It's taken me a long time to realise that.
I agree. I feel welcome there. I don't have to pretend to be someone I'm not or better than I am. I'm accepted just as I am.
Where do you meet God?
I often meet God out in the countryside when I'm walking or running.
I meet God in the beauty of the forest, the hills, the sea, sky, which always gives me a sense of the wonder of God.
I meet God in church, at certain key points in a service.
I don't always meet God in church, but I'd say more often than not.
One day a week I work in the church, in the church office. Before I start, I like to spend a few minutes sitting quietly, reminding myself what it's all about, why I'm here. I usually sit on the base of the stone font under the tower. I look down the church at the stained glass in the east end, at Christ on the cross. I'm surrounded by the tick, tick, tick of the clock mechanism. It's as though I'm hearing God's heart beating. He feels that close. Then I feel at peace and ready to get on with work.
What do you feel when you go into the church?
Parts of our building are more than 1,000 years old. So something of the ancient meeting the living, which makes me feel both hopeful and calm.
When I go into St Nick's, I feel a sense of calm, warmth and definitely welcome.
When I go into the church, I feel relaxed. I feel away from the hassles and the busyness of the world. I feel calm.
When I go into the church, I feel like I can stop for a while and leave behind all of the daily stress and the rushing around. I can pray about them if I need to, but it's a place to truly be away from all of that.
When I go into St Nick's, it feels like I'm coming home.
Where do you meet God?
In the stories of the Gospels as they come to life for me.
I meet God in church when I listen to the music playing. I find a stillness and a space to meet God.
I meet God by the sea, watching the waves and their power.
I meet God when I see our youth group together, whether they're playing or working, or performing one of their amazing, crazy multimedia presentations. God's definitely there.
Once a year, I meet God when I'm racing around the rectory garden with a super soaker, trying to drench the kids. They're an unmerciful bunch. I normally end up with a bucket of water over my head. That's the annual church barbecue. I meet God there in the hilarity, the freedom, the fun, the joy of being alive.
Where do you meet God?
So there's an interesting question. Where do you find God? And as I said, as I introduce this piece, all our stories vary. We find God in different places. I wonder where you might find God. From there, we moved to a group who decided to take a wildlife theme. You won't be surprised that Colin was part of this group. So this was a kind of David Attenborough look at a wildlife programme. They used that as a theme. And the theme that emerged from that story was the idea of a river, and a river flowing through the landscape and going at different speeds through different landscapes and so on. So they each told their story about bits of the river's journey. And added in their understandings of their own faith and the church as they talked about the river.
The river, with apologies to David Attenborough. I am on a fantastic journey to look at the origins of the River of Life in Dunnington. In this episode, I shall be travelling down our church river to try to build a picture of what life is like in rural East York. It will be a journey full of wonders. Parts of our story were undiscovered until this weekend. In only 2 days of programme making, I've been lucky enough to discover many individual stories that make up the living church in our community. And in this episode, I'll present just a few of them. As a river flows and changes and yet is constant, so the life of our village church has evolved over time since the 11th century. Rectors have come and gone, leaving only a list of incumbents that would fit on a page of A3. The history of the church in Dunnington can be visualised as a flowing river, tributaries connecting and paths braiding and twisting through history. As tributaries join the flowing river, so lives connect within the living church, waters mingling on their journey through time. This is our story of the river of Dunnington. But oh wait, there in the undergrowth I see a shape of a church and a church warden. Let us take a moment to observe his movements.
I flowed into St Nicholas in 1976. My first memory has been in my scruffs building the bathroom at home, when the rector called to ask me to be Joseph to someone else's Mary, because I had a good beard and was a dead ringer for Joseph. I've lost count of how many times I've been church warden. An outsider's view of being a church warden is a caretaker, but the official title is bishop's officer, and my role is to keep the rector of the time in order and support them in their ministry.
The church warden plays a crucial role in the ecosystem of the Dunnington River, keeping it running freely, removing the eddies that form as the river swirls on. But lurking there, behind the ancient columns of the church, where the chisel marks of bygone stonemasons indicate early occurrence of the living river, we can see another element of this complex system, the fabric officer.
We moved to the village in 1988, and initially had no part in church life. But after a holiday in Thailand, trekking on the Burmese border and meeting Christian villagers, I decided I wanted to know more about Jesus. So on returning to the village, I jumped into church life. It was a really supportive environment for a young Christian, to the point that when my husband was overseas and I went into labour early with our first child, two church friends, one interrupting her son's 18th birthday party, took me to hospital and were there with me when Jack was born. After living all over the world for the last 18 years, we've returned to the village, and today singing both traditional choral music and contemporary worship songs are a big part of my faith life at St Nick's.
The river is like a living beast. Over eons of time it rises and falls, the water never the same, in constant onward motion. So the church is ever evolving as it absorbs individuals for any number of reasons, yet remains a reassuring constant.
I'm a vicar's daughter, a multi-talented species known for creating our own identity and being volunteered for almost every role there is within the church without consultation. Growing up in a vicarage was not always an easy life. On one occasion, when I was about 16, there was a knock on the door. Irritated by not being able to watch the TV, as there was yet another church meeting in the living room, I took leave of my senses and was slightly rude to the vicar arriving at the front door. Many years later, this self-same vicar, now rector at Dunnington, knocked on our front door as we were newly arrivals to the village. A few years and a little wisdom later, I was able to smile and volunteer my husband for the church grass cutting rota, which he still does to this day, as some form of penance for my rudeness 15 years previously. And since that point, my family have grown within the family of the church in Dunnington, initially joining the little people group, which provides an opportunity for families with young children to meet at preschool age. Before I knew it, I was running it. St Nicholas Church has been fantastic in providing a family within the village. My boys have attended Searchers Christian After School Club and now Ignite, the church youth group.
Here, found under the majestic weeping willow, we find, among the branches, in its favoured natural habitat, the deputy chair of the PCC. And as we have found in the creation of this very programme, a creature that is double-jointed. That requires further research to find out why.
We first arrived in the village 3 years ago, having returned to the UK from Tanzania, where we've been part of a very informal church. The first week after moving in, we decided to try the local church, and with two noisy children, my wife spent most of the service in the tower room, leaving me in the main service. To be honest, after one service, I never wanted to go back. The service was formal and full of strange sung bits at random moments that everyone else seemed to know. The congregation seemed small and aged, and I wasn't exactly inspired. So for the next few weeks, we visited various churches in York, and then when I was away travelling for work one weekend, my wife returned to St Nicholas with the kids alone for a family service and had a totally different experience. With the children also visiting the church through the school, my objections were overruled and we decided to join in. 2 years later, we're very much part of the church and really enjoying to help it evolve. Somehow, I'm still not quite sure how, I agreed to help lead the youth group and more recently to take services on Sunday mornings on occasion. My wife now edits the benefits newsletter and church website and regularly runs the children's activities.
Further down the river, our next species, a new arrival, has been around for just 2 months. A prime example of a brand new curate. Wide-eyed, full of enthusiasm, and ready to assist the river flow through future years.
My first Sunday in the benefice included the annual barbecue, where I was overwhelmed by the full range of life within the river that is St Nicholas's Church. I saw people serving one another through providing the food, entertaining the children in their activities, and freely participating in conversation together. I felt incredibly welcome and fully at home in the stretch of the river, until a water fight broke out. Mostly among the youth, but with some adult contribution. And through an unexpected soaking, became aware that I was fully baptised into the church community.
And in our next episode, well, we will cross that bridge when we get to it.
So, yes, indeed, next time, I think this group have delusions of grandeur. They want to start a series of wildlife programmes on their faith, but we've got to move on to the next group. The next group took the idea of the church being open, and open in what sense? So is it just physically open, it's unlocked? Is it about the church being open and welcoming? And here we've got a group of stories of people who found the church to be open in different ways, and they've observed other people using the church as an open space in the village. So let's hear some of their stories.
Some of those stones, those walls, have stood there for nearly 1,000 years. The church was already old when John put his seal on the Magna Carta, and 25 barons were appointed to see he kept his word. Later, Sir Richard de Percy, one of the 25, argued with the Archbishop of York over who had the right to appoint the priest at Dunnington. And our church received its first recorded mention when the lawyers got involved. The Archbishop won some 5 years later. But if we contemplate these ancient stones too long, we're likely to be mown down by the number 10 bus as it throws itself left and then right, snaking in or out of the village. Perhaps we would be safer inside. The gate is open, but are we welcome to go in?
I moved into Dunnington with my husband just over 30 years ago. My grandmother, whom I was very close to, died at the same time. My family live in South East London, and my grandmother was a committed Christian and regularly attended church. I had been brought up to attend church, but leaving home to attend college and then moving up to work in York, I'd got out of the habit of attending church, and at the time I moved to Dunnington, I probably hadn't been in a church for about 10 years. I decided that I wanted to go up to attend Evensong at St Nicholas, as this was a service that was still happening regularly at St Nicholas 30 years ago. It was also a service I was familiar with. I thought it would honour my grandmother's memory to attend. So I turned up at St Nicholas at 6:30 to find no service happening. As it turned out, the congregation were all away on a parish weekend. However, there was an old lady sitting in the church. Her name, I later found out, was Miss Manning. She hadn't gone on the parish weekend, but had come up to sit in the church, even though Evensong had been cancelled, and she explained why the service had been cancelled and offered to show me round the church. She was very knowledgeable about the history of the building and encouraged me to come back next week when she assured me that the service would be on, which it was, and I've been attending ever since. As children came along, I started attending the Sunday morning family service and little people, but I never forgot my first visit to St Nicholas and the unexpected welcome from a very special old lady.
When the gate is open, the church is open, and the gate is open every day. Perhaps we'll find the building empty, but probably not. People come and go all the time. They'll come to leave a prayer request or to light a candle. Barry, the church warden, replenishes the supply most evenings when he comes to lock up. Or there might be an art class in the tower room, the useful, oddly shaped extension at the west end. When it was suggested that the ladies' cheese and wine evening should move from the tower room to the larger reading rooms down the road, there was an outcry. Oh no, it wouldn't be the same. Or maybe we'll meet the meditation group, the toddler group, or rehearsals for the village play. Or maybe just someone waiting for the number 10 who has popped in to use the loo.
I recently started to coordinate the ladies who arrange the flowers in church. I'm not sure how I come to be doing this, as I have no training, but I do enjoy it. Part of the responsibility is checking the arrangements 2 or 3 times a week, making sure that the water levels are okay and dead flowers weeded out. Every time I visit, I meet someone, a visitor, someone praying, or people collecting magazines to deliver. A few days ago, I arrived to find a car parked outside the gate. A couple with a dog were there. She was walking back from the churchyard with the dog, whilst he was putting their flask and picnic bag into the car. The lady came into church and used the loo while her husband stayed outside with the dog. As I left, she came out too, and her husband went in. She said that they had come quite a long distance to put flowers on a grave and had made an outing of it. And I still don't know how I come to be arranging the flowers.
People come into the church congregation for different reasons. Some never left. Some come in after a bereavement. For others, it's when they have children. They come every week, or they come once a year. The church is open when they arrive. I'm not religious, said one father, a regular attender, but it doesn't seem to matter. When the children arrived, said his wife, we wanted to centre our spiritual life in the place where we lived.
The church is always open to welcome the village school children, their teachers and parents, to celebrate harvest, Christmas, Easter, and the end of the school year. As part of taking the church into the community, the ministry team go into school to take collective worship and to support the Christian teaching within the school. As members of the church family age or become ill, and attending church becomes physically more difficult, the church goes out to visit them and to take communion if they wish to receive the sacrament. Many move away from the church or the community, but return for weddings and baptisms, and it's good to celebrate with them. Recently, a family requested someone from Dunnington to take a funeral, as the deceased, their stepfather, was born and bred in the village and during his life had connections with St Nicholas Church.
The church, the building, changes slowly over the centuries, a repair, a modification at a time. The rhythm of services alters with lifestyles and tastes. The weekly evensong gives way to the monthly family service. Congregations wax and wane as priests come and go, drifting through the doldrums of an interregnum, re-enthused with a new arrival. If the numbers at the main Sunday service have fallen, other midweek or occasional congregations have grown. Some see change as disrespectful to the church's traditions, or are afraid of losing the comfort of familiar ways. But then, some moment of meaning, some spark comes along that wouldn't have happened in another context or with different people. Things change, things stay the same. People come and go and come back again. The church waits and the gate is open.
And the weekend finished, as we told all our stories, with a communion service in the lovely chapel of Wydale Hall. And we sang and we worshipped together. And so we close this first St Nicholas's podcast with some music from that closing communion service.
Bless the Lord, my soul.